Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran. And yes, we are at the final day of my Camino. Today, you get to join me on the journey into Santiago de Compostela. Now, I'm actually going to have another, I think it's 2 days of reflections. So on Friday, you're going to hear my journey home. And then I do have a sort of biggest surprises reflection as well. So that'll be something that, again, I'm always thinking about you guys in terms of helping you grow in your faith by sharing with you the journey that I'm taking. Okay. All right. Back in a minute.
Hey, this is Dr. Tom Curran, the host of Sound Insight, but also a realtor serving wonderful folks like you in the state of Washington and in Idaho. I've had the privilege and pleasure of helping dozens of families in the last 2.5 years discern and find a strategy, a path, and a plan to help their families find a whole new life in eastern Washington and northern Idaho. If I could be of service to you in that, I would love to. Please reach out. DrTomCurran.com, DrTomCurran.com.
Welcome back to the program. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus' holy name. And Lord, we thank you in this month dedicated to life. We thank you, Lord, in this month dedicated to the rosary, that we would be prayer warriors who feel the urge to step forward and to take up the spiritual sword of the rosary. Lord, help us to recognize the difference between our experience of praying the rosary and the power of praying the rosary. Lord, help us not measure the spiritual impact based on our own interior experience. Lord, you go beyond us. You go far beyond our own limitations and our weakness. And Lord, as I today share about my final day, the final stage of the journey into Santiago, I ask, Lord, that you would bless those, Lord, who are at some final stage in their journey. Lord, I pray for those who are finishing a career at work. I pray for those who are finishing a time at school. Lord, I pray for those who are finishing their journey in life. And I ask, Lord, that you would truly bless them, show them your face. Lord, please don't hold back. Grant them special graces, especially, Lord, those who are at points of struggle and need and challenge. Lord, I do also pray in a special way for those who are impacted by the hurricane in Florida. I ask, Jesus, for your mercy. I ask for your favor. I ask, Lord, that you would truly rescue and preserve. Rescue those, Lord, who are in a place of being stuck. And I ask, Lord, that you would preserve so many people, Lord, across the state from violent, deadly impacts from this storm. Jesus, grant grace. And Lord, I pray for safety for those who are traveling in the southeast, that they would be safe and that they would arrive peacefully to their destination. And we make this prayer in Jesus' holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, let's dive into the reflections.
Hey, welcome to this continuing sharing with you my journey to Santiago de Compostela, the journey of hiking the Camino. It's a trip of just under 500 miles across northern Spain. And here I am, it's day 31. And yes, it's the day of completion where I walk into Santiago de Compostela, the resting place of the remains of St. James the Apostle at the Cathedral of St. James the Apostle in Santiago de Compostela. Santiago means St. James. So The great news about today is that it's a short walk. I only had less than 8 miles to go. I had done those two longer stages, which if you followed along, the two longest stages of my Camino happened the previous 2 days, and it left a very short walk for today. And one of the good news, one of the pieces of, let's call it good news associated with that is that I was going to be hiking with my backpack. So the backpack that I had started with, I had eventually shed and turned and relied just on a day pack and had my backpack carried for me, driven to my next location. Well, there was no next location. There was Santiago. And so that meant putting my backpack on. Now, today was going to be a kind of an interesting day because I had a ticket for an airplane. I had a flight for a flight out of Santiago de Compostela at the airport at 6 o'clock in the evening. And so that was something that, again, was a bit maybe distinctive. Lots of folks will talk about how they will stay in Santiago de Compostela for a couple of days, maybe a few days, in part to rest and recover, in part to really celebrate and take in the completion of their journey and be able to enjoy the sights, because Santiago de Compostela, it's a bigger city and there's a lot to see at the cathedral itself and then around the cathedral, some beautiful sights. And so just to be able to revel in the idea of completing the journey. That was not something that I did. In a certain sense, it wasn't something that I gave myself permission to do. I had chosen to end my Camino early in order to get back home as an act of support for Carrie and my family. And so I didn't look at today as somehow, oh, I'm being robbed of the full experience of the Camino because I don't get to stay in town for an extended set of days to recover and to enjoy and celebrate and revel. That wasn't really kind of like a goal of mine. That wasn't really an ideal. I had originally established the idea of staying there for a day just so that I would be able to for sure be able to experience the Pilgrim's Mass in case I was arriving late one day, as well as to say, well, if I'm really tired, I want to be able to like enjoy and be able to maybe meet up again with some other folks who had also completed the Camino that I had on my journey. But those things ended up being really strategically unnecessary or practically unnecessary. And also in terms of the way that I live the Camino, not that important. It wasn't as if I was walking with a set of folks over the course of many weeks. That wasn't how my journey unfolded. So much of my own Camino was a personal path of prayer and penance as a pilgrim, a personal path of seeking his face. Again, that holy face image, really elevating the theme of seeking the face of God and seeking his face as a disciple, and as well as a path of 10xing my life, right? So that path of being able to detox from technology and to get in better shape, lose some weight, and to shift how I was living my life, specifically by increasing and re-engaging in things like what I'm doing literally with you right now, a live stream on social media, to engage in ministry work and to pray with people. And that was another aspect of that goal, as well as to shift how I was doing real estate. So I've already talked about those things. So the way that my Camino unfolded, that wasn't the idea of spending all of this additional time in Santiago wasn't it didn't take on a high value for me as I was coming into my last day. However, I knew that I wanted to be there for a meaningful amount of time to be able to achieve, for me, the pinnacle of the achievement of reaching Santiago de Compostela. And the pinnacle was not simply arriving at the Cathedral of St. James, the traditional endpoint of the Camino. It wasn't just going into the church to see the censer, the bota fumero, the big incensor, right? The big thurible swinging at the end of the Mass. No, it was going to Mass itself. The end point of the goal, the pinnacle, the height of the journey was worshiping God. It was being at the Mass. It was not simply seeking his face, but encountering his face. It wasn't just being a pilgrim on the journey. It was the end point of that journey, which is heaven. And the reality of Mass being the place where heaven breaks into earth. Mass is that place where the one whose face we seek comes to us Eucharistically to meet us, to encounter us, to enter into us, to transform us. And so Mass is the end of the journey. That's the goal, was being at that Mass. And so I had done enough planning to know that that Pilgrim's Mass was at noon. And I also knew that with the shorter walk that I had, that I would finish it in about 2.5 hours. So I was able to get up after, again, I did focus quite a bit on that last night on resting because of the long walk that I took. And so really, again, just really doing what I needed to do to care for my feet and my legs. And also just be ready. So when I got up in the morning, it wasn't that complicated for me to get myself ready, pack my backpack, because I'm carrying that backpack. And thank you, Lord, I'm only carrying it for, again, around between 6 and 8 miles, and launched out at 7 in the morning. Once again, it's dark. And because I'm so close to Santiago, and there probably aren't that many other pilgrims who are in the same boat that I'm in, where it's like, got to get there right away because I'm leaving at the end of the day. I did encounter just a couple of people at the edge of town as we were launching off, and chatted with them the briefest of moments, and just celebrated with them a little bit, say congratulations, you're going to make it today. And they had started in Soria, and they were sort of a little in awe of the fact that I'd started all the way back in Saint Jean Pied de Port. So I enjoyed that for a minute, and I just off I went. Here we go, and it started to sprinkle, but then stopped. And thanks be to God, it stayed clear for the day, and so I peacefully made my way walking, and walked, you know, through some. Again, now I'm a little bit of a wooded area, but quickly it's moving in the outskirts of Santiago to be sort of smaller towns leading into the city. And what was interesting is that there wasn't a finish line, right? There wasn't a, you know, here's the end of the Camino and cross the line. And so I was taking videos, little video clips to share with my family, and that was the way I was keeping them updated. And okay, here we are crossing the bridge, entering the city limits. Oh, here we go. We are now actually entering that place where the sign says Santiago de Compostela, and you see, you know, these other like symbols and works of art and indications that you have now arrived. But there was no fanfare around that. You know, I saw a few pilgrims that had also arrived by around, again, when I got there, just after 9 o'clock or so when I'm entering the city limits and making my way through the city. You know, it's really truly a city. And you know, you can tell the folks that are there, this is their life. Their life is based around the reality that there are just so many pilgrims that are reaching this town every day for their whole lives and for generations before. And so just winding my way through the city, I'm now seeing the church at a distance. I'm taking little video clips, and it's building up a sense of, okay, I'm getting close, getting closer. But on the inside, there honestly isn't a sense of like elation or a sense of, radical sense of like emotion that's intensifying, that I'm completing this journey. Part of that, I think, is my temperament. Part of it was probably that I was doing this by myself. And so I didn't have this group that, you know, we had endured so much together. I was happy for sure. I was grateful for sure. And I just was moving forward. So eventually come sort of through some, getting into the older part of town, coming down this little alleyway, it opens out, and there it is on the left, the Cathedral of St. James.
Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com. drtomcurran.com.
There it is on the left, the Cathedral of St. James. It's the backside of the cathedral. And it was, in a certain sense, a little bit anticlimactic, right? So I come down into the area. There's a bunch of people milling around. Again, most of them are tourists, and some of them, or a number of them, are pilgrims who have hiked the Camino and who are there for their second morning. And so they're up and milling around and looking at sights. And it's sort of like, okay, I arrived. Well, is there a party? Is there going to be any kind of acknowledgement of what, that I'm here? No, everyone's doing their thing. And I'm like, okay, I did it. And I had known from some things I'd read online, as well as talking with that one fellow who had arrived several days ahead of me. He kind of gave me the little agenda. Hey, you know what? Go to the Compostela office first and get your certificate of completion. And then you can go and you can actually drop your backpack off someplace that they'll hold it in a locker area so that you can walk around and enjoy the Pilgrim's Mass and then go to the Mass, of course, and then you can go and then we'll meet up if we can. And unfortunately, our timing didn't work out. That was going to be the one person I was going to celebrate with, was that one fellow who had completed the Camino several days earlier, had gone out to Finisterre, out to the ocean, and was on his way back. But we were going to miss each other by just like an hour or two, because I had to head to the airport and before his bus arrived. So that's what I ended up doing. I ended up going down just a couple blocks away from the church. It was a pretty quick process of signing in, acknowledging that I'd finished, signing into this computer, saying, yeah, here I am, I've arrived. I had signed all the way back in 31 days before in St. Jean-Pied-de-Port. They took down my information as someone launching from the state on the Camino. So now here I am, I've arrived. And I was wondering where I was going to put my hiking poles. So my hiking poles that had served me so well on the Camino were not coming home with me. They were staying behind because I couldn't bring hiking poles on an airplane. I would have to check them in, and I wasn't going to pay $35 to check in a pair of hiking poles that cost me $15. So they were going to go, and I was like, oh, look at that. There was in the corner was a sort of umbrella holder, and a whole bunch of hiking poles were there. So I did a little ceremony. I put the hiking poles in, took a picture of them, and just said, thank you, Lord, for the gift of these hiking poles, these supports for me on the journey. Those hiking poles brought me through a lot. I have to really appreciate the importance of those hiking poles. And one of them was bent from that'll be my lasting memory of my dislocation of my left ankle. I put all of my weight on that hiking pole as I fell to the ground and bent it. Thank God it didn't bend it. Thank you, Lord. It didn't bend it entirely, but it still functioned as a pole. So that would have been terrible because of the timing of when that dislocation had happened before my 10-mile descent downhill. So I took a picture of that to memorialize my poles. I went in. The woman interacted with me a little bit to make sure the dates and information were correct, printed out my Compostela, and handed it to me, took a look at it. That's it. You're all done. Okay. So I went over, checked out. They gave me a tube for it, put it in my tube, put the tube in my backpack, and I'm done. Okay. So now let me go out. Now, this morning, this particular morning, I hadn't eaten a breakfast. I wasn't as concerned about a breakfast. I had, you know, some coffee, and that was going to be sufficient because it was a shorter walk. And it was fine. And I'm like, you know what, before I do anything else, let me have a breakfast, a little celebratory breakfast. So that morning I did permit myself to have a nice glass of orange juice and a Spanish tortilla, so the eggs with the potatoes in them, as well as a cup of coffee, and enjoyed that very much, just by myself eating it, and ate it out on the street, the cobblestone road, where, you know, lots of folks were walking, just in case I would see someone that maybe had started the Camino or I had met along the way. I didn't, but finished my meal, thanking the Lord for the gift of making it without any further injuries or any injuries that actually had stopped me on the way. I had arrived, but now it was time to reach the pinnacle, to do, in fact, what for me was the end of my journey. The meaning and fulfillment of the hike would be found at Mass. So at this point, I need to get into the cathedral, and I need to put my bag away, my backpack, because you can't bring backpacks into the cathedral. So I go to the front, and they tell me, the front entrance, and there's like a line of people starting there. And they said, no, it's around the corner where you can drop off your backpack. So followed his directions. I got around the corner and go along the edge of the cathedral. And I come to, okay, I don't see, I'm missing it. I'm not seeing it. So I end up going up this long set of steps, and I'm at the side entrance to the cathedral. And again, there's a line of folks starting to, that have queued up. It is just, it's just after 10 o'clock, right? Just after 10 in the morning. And I know the Mass is at noon, and I'm like, wow, people are already lining up for Mass. That's impressive. And so I go all the way to the front of the line. I interact with the guard that's there. And I said, I need to put this backpack in some locker. Do you know where it is? He says, oh, no, that backpack's fine. It's not a big one. That one you can take in with you. And I'm like, thank you, Lord. All right. So I immediately just go and I get in line. And I don't know, there may be 20 people in front of me in line. And I just stand there and just start like taking in the atmosphere. And so I'm doing that and praying and thinking and just being really grateful to the Lord that I'm going to get into Mass. And sure enough, the reason why we're waiting is that they were having an earlier Pilgrim's Mass that hadn't completed yet. And so they had to finish that Mass, empty those people out, then we would be let in. And I thought, okay, great. Only 20 people in front of me. I should be able to get really a good seat to be able to be present at Mass. And, you know, maybe I'm going to be you know, third row, fourth row with this 20 people, and there's going to be people coming in other doors. And so kind of a mad rush for the pews. And I'm like, well, that'll be fine. This is better than I was maybe expecting. And so, because I had heard how crowded the masses were, and I'm like, thank you again, Lord, that I'm here early enough where I'm going to get a good seat. And so now I'm just taking in the atmosphere, and I noticed that there is a group of students, maybe as young as seventh grade and going up to probably maybe even 12th grade, along the row, like along there's sort of like a bench-like area along the edge of the cathedral that runs about, I don't know, 100 feet or so, maybe even longer than that. And obviously it's a tourist group of students that are there for the mass. And I'm just looking at them, and there was something that was so striking about it. I took a video of it, sent it to my kids, and in my little group chat, I said, what's wrong with this picture? And if you took a look at the video, it wouldn't take you long to notice that all of the kids, almost really without exception, were like this, head down. Their heads were down, not because they were, you know, hands folded in prayer, not because they were tired and so they were nodding off and sleeping. What were they doing? You know what they were doing. They were on their phones. They were on their phones individually or grouped together. All of them. And it was for me just a sadness. It was a sadness that, you know, is this really shocking that, you know, kids this age are going to be on their phones? No. It's you know, oh, shock of shocks, no. But it was a sad commentary of our time, that this is the quote unquote the reality for so many kids of that age, just absorbed in the digital world, absorbed in their phones, when they are. Where are they? They are in a place where the grandeur, the beauty, the splendor of the church that they're leaning against is somehow missing for them, somehow not engaged with them. They're not sort of taking in the moment, the environment that they're in, or even just enjoying each other in conversation apart from the digital world. It was just a sadness. It's just like, okay, that's part of reality right now. And it's something that I want more for my life, for Carrie's life, for our life together, for our kids individually, and for my kids as a family and in their lives, right? And for you in your lives, right? That was one of my 10x goals, was detoxing off technology. And I'm going to review how I did regarding the accomplishment of these different goals in my next video, or maybe in two videos. I still got to get home. I have a get home video that I'm doing. So there I am waiting in line. Okay, so now, oh, all right, it's time. And so they let us shuffle in, And I get my little competitive spirit. I'm going to get to that, you know, as close as I can to the, you know, to the front section of the pews to be able to get, you know, a good seat for mass. And I was also grateful that I was like, you know what, I'm going to be able to get a really good prayer time in. I'm going to get into the church probably by 10:30, maybe quarter of 11 at the latest. And I'm going to have, you know, a full hour and 15 minutes of prayer time and journaling time. And I thought, thank you, Lord, this is beautiful. So go into the church, and it takes me about, I don't know, 10 or 15 seconds to realize, hey, wait a minute, something's not happening that I was thinking was going to happen. And that is, people aren't running for the pews. it's not just that a few of the people in front of me are not headed for the pews. It's not just that most of the people in front of me are not heading for the pews. Nobody is heading for the pews. Everyone is headed for the main altar, the Bota Fumero, the big thurible, the big incenser, was just still sort of swinging a little bit because the other mass had just ended and the organ was still playing. And so there was still some incense coming out of it. And people were like running for a space where they would be standing in front of the sanctuary of the main altar. And they can see past the altar into this amazing backdrop behind the main altar. And all the way up to a artistic sort of sculpture in some type of metal, cast metal, of St. James. And people immediately go to those spaces and take pictures. And I'm like, what is going on here? You all weren't waiting in line to get a pew, get a seat for mass? Some of you, most of you, none of you? Yeah, none of them. So I'm like, wow, okay. So I walked over, got into the front pew, all the way to the edge of the pew where the main aisle of the main body of the church was. And I'm like, I got the best seat in the house. And no one else is sitting next to me. No one else is doing anything to get any of these spaces. I'm like, oh. And again, I felt like, what's going on here? That what's going on here sort of showed up a few times that morning and even that day. And there are a couple of like, what really, this is what's happening. It happened inside of me. I'll talk about that in a minute related to getting to the airport. It happened again at the airport one time, again, later in the day. But for right now, in this moment, it felt like, all right, folks, why were you doing this? What was the Camino all about for you? And so I felt a sadness. I felt on the one hand for myself, just grateful for a gift. Grateful for the gift of my Catholic faith. And I'll tell you very specifically why. As I sat and I first just prayed just real prayers of sincere gratitude to the Lord for his mercy. That's his favor that I didn't deserve. The Lord showed me favor that I did not deserve on this Camino. Favor. His mercy not only preserved me from far worse things happening. Who knows how many, let's call them near misses, happened in terms of either me breaking down like physically or worse things happening to my ankles. Mercy that my left calf muscle never got pulled, that my knees did not fail me, that my back didn't get thrown out. Mercy that nothing dangerous ended up impacting my life on the course of the Camino. Not that that's a big risk, but just even physical failures, right? So in terms of my bodily constitution not being in very good shape, God, you were so merciful to me. And then rescuing me when I would experience the physical things that did end up happening to me, the biggest being, of course, those two ankle dislocations. And Thank you, Lord. So not just for his mercy, but for his generosity. Lord, you gave me the opportunity to do this, and your generosity in taking care of my family and taking care of me and providing for me the time and the financial capacity and the opportunity to break open this opportunity to be able to do this, and the support I had at home to be able, and encouragement to be able to do this. Thank you, Lord, for your generosity. And so there was that prayer, but then there was the thank you, Lord, for my Catholic faith. As I looked up, and I had a mostly obscured view of the sanctuary. There's just a great crowd of people, just, you know, 5 or 6 people thick along the whole front of the area in front of the sanctuary, you know, where the altar is and the tabernacle, and then the backdrop of the area behind, again, which sort of went in deep, and it was huge angels sort of holding up the baldacchino, I think it's called, that area with, like, looking down upon the altar area, and then going all the way back to, again, this statue of St. James. And so, and again, the incense are sitting over. So all of these people just taking pictures, and just being so excited to be there, and just being in awe of all the beauty and the grandeur and the splendor of this architectural marvel, this church, and missing the one who is the source of all life, one who is the truth of all being, and the one who is the way, Jesus. Jesus was there. The living, glorified presence of the God of heaven and earth, the Redeemer of the world, the Shepherd of our souls, the one who is the way, the truth, and the life, the light of the world. Jesus was there, present in a hidden manner in the tabernacle as Eucharist. Totally overlooked. I shouldn't say totally, that's extreme. Almost entirely overlooked. There was an occasional, let's say 1 out of 100 of the pilgrims, as they were there taking their pictures, they might come, and as they reached the center point of the aisle and where the altar was, they would genuflect and then move on. So there were some that were acknowledging the presence of the Lord there in the tabernacle, but it felt to me like, okay, how? Again, am I really surprised? I shouldn't be that surprised. Come on. You know, the folks that are there as tourists, the folks that are there that were, you know, at these inflection points in their lives, these pilgrims that were hiking for just a variety of meanings, a physical challenge, something that was on their bucket list. Someone had done it and they wanted to do it with them, or had done it before, and they just had some time and this was something that they just wanted to do, or seeking meaning and purpose in their lives. Okay, so for all of these folks who do not have a rich or ignited Catholic faith and don't have a sensitivity to the presence of the Lord in the Eucharist, of course, they're going to be in front of the one who is the King of all glory and miss him in the midst of this architectural splendor and wonder that was meant to glorify him to begin with. And so on the one hand, very grateful, right? Very grateful. On the other hand, so sad that somehow, you know, how have we Catholics allowed it to come to this? How have we permitted it to come to this? And there was, you know, valiant efforts being made by staff at the cathedral to keep people quiet. Probably every 5 minutes, a woman would come to the microphone and say, "Silencio." Silence, shh. She would shush the crowd in the microphone and silence everyone, and saying this is a church and all of this. And And it worked for a bit, and then the chatter would happen, and she'd do it again. And I did receive a gift, though. The gift, one of the gifts I received was within maybe 20 minutes or so, a group of three or four Australian ladies came and sat next to me. And they were fervent Catholics. And so we had a chance. They had not walked the Camino, but they had come here as a with a true Catholic spirit, right? So even though they hadn't made a pilgrimage of a long walk, they still were there as pilgrims to see this important Catholic site. And so they were there, again, maybe an hour early for the Mass. And so we had a chance to share a bit and talk a bit. And the neat thing was they were also sort of joining me in that sense of saying, hey, guys, you're like looking at an altar, but you're missing the one for whom the altar was made. You're seeing all these beautiful, like, artistic displays that are pointing to the reality of heaven, but you're missing the reality of the one who is the creator of heaven and earth, who is right there in a hidden form. And so there was that kind of mutual kind of sharing of saying, thank you, God, for the gift of our faith that gives us the grace to recognize this. And we also felt that sense of sadness that so many come as tourists rather than as worshipers. And so I then just turned to prayer and journaling and fellowshipped with them a little bit, and then just continued to pray and journal. And then probably 20 minutes before Mass, or even a half an hour before Mass, they started like moving people away. And I mentioned I was in the front row. There was one row in front of us for servers, those who were serving at Mass. And so there were going to be at least a few people that were right in front of us in that one row. And so with that said, I still had what was really and truly the sort of the best seat for Mass. And what I intentionally chose was to be in a seat that allowed me to look all the way to the main altar and then past the main altar into the main area behind the altar, which was, again, wonderfully displaying this heavenly reality. And that's as compared to I could have had the front row on a side view. If I had the side view, I would have had a more impressive experience of seeing the Boto Fumero swinging side to side, because I would have got it like along the view as it would have come. That would have been more impressive. And I remember thinking to myself, which view do I want? And I realized that this is just for me. The more meaningful and important view to be able to enter into this Mass as the goal of my Camino was about arriving at the face of Him who I've been seeking, recognizing and celebrating and honoring the reality that heaven is my true home and true goal, and that I would experience that more fully with that front-on view of the Mass, where the priest would be addressing me in a way that was visible and direct, and things were happening towards me, rather than looking at them on the side for the sake of seeing the thurible, the Boto Fumero swinging. It almost felt more like, oh, that's the better view for the tourist. That's the better view for the one who just wants to say, look, I saw it, and I had the most amazing view of it. And so I'm glad that, because I still had an amazing view of it, but it was, you know, obscured by the big pillars in the church when it actually happened. So Mass itself wasn't emotional. I didn't cry or anything like that. But it was a beautiful, fitting way to end my Camino, to be able to receive communion there. And then afterwards, when Mass ended, it was at the end of Mass, where they prayed a prayer for us. It was a beautiful prayer about how grateful we were to the Lord for the gift of finishing the Camino, and now a blessing upon us as we go back into our lives to then live the Camino. And that will be, in fact, where I'm headed in my next reflection. The final act, though, of the Mass was the swinging of the Bota Fumero. And sure, the group of guys had come out. Now, I was only familiar with it because of the movie The Way, and so saw how they did it. And so that was the only kind of memory I had of connecting to it. And so here they were. They came out, and they started to swing it, and then they lifted it up, and then it went. And I was just below the organ pipes, and so where I was sitting. So again, just having a full experience of that moment. But once again, felt like, what's the meaning of this Bota Fumero swinging? This incensor swinging and giving off all of this sweet smelling incense. And it felt as if there were sort of two experiences of it, and they're not perfectly like isolated. There was the experience of those who came as tourists or who hiked the Camino as having a whole variety of meanings that weren't fully the reality of a pilgrim walking a path of prayer and penance and now arriving at home, which is heaven. And in heaven, what are you doing? You're worshiping God. So what's the incense? Incense is about worshiping the Lord. The incense is about interceding before the Lord. In the book of Revelation, the incense and the smoke are a signal of the prayers of the saints coming before the throne of God. And so many pilgrims who've hiked the Camino in the you know, thousand-year tradition, they've been walking that path of prayer and penance in a very significant way as an act of intercession. They're interceding for someone they love, for circumstances that are like meaningful to them, or they're desperate to see God move. And so that big incensor is, in a certain sense, a way of saying, we're collecting together, we're gathering together, all of you who have walked all of these miles over all of these days with such intensity, such prayer, such focus, and we are now collecting them all together, and we are going to bring this before God in this great act of interceding before the throne of God, crying out once again for answers to our prayers, while also incense was a sign of offering to the Lord a sacrifice of praise and worship. And so, Lord, again, we want to express in the greatest way possible with this magnificent symbol of a thurible that is so large, the great act of worship that we have just completed at Mass and offering it to you. And we want to symbolize that with this gesture, with this liturgical instrument, to be able to show you just how profoundly and completely we are worshiping you. That's the meaning of the Bota Fumero. We are here to praise and worship and intercede with great praise, with great worship, with great intercession. And there's our symbol. There's our sign. That's what it means. Or it's, we did it. We arrived at the Camino, we arrived in Santiago, we arrived at the cathedral, we went to the Pilgrim's Mass, and there it is. It happened. There's that Bota Fumero swinging. Get it on video. Get it. Get it swinging. That's so cool. I've never seen anything like that before. Yes. Okay. Check the box. We are tourists. And I think that, you know, having that culminating experience for me, It's something that, what doesn't that also relate to our lives? Right? What was so condensed in that moment, densely experienced in that moment, is in some ways a reflection on, or it casts a light on, What happens at every Mass? What happens at any Mass? Every Mass and any Mass is a moment where we come into contact with the end of our journey, heaven, the goal of our journey, heaven, our true home, heaven. Recognizing that as pilgrims, we get to touch and taste the goal of our journey because heaven takes the initiative to break into earth. The Lord takes the initiative to break into our journeying to give us a taste and a glimpse, a foretaste and a glimpse of the goal. That's what Mass is. It's heaven on earth and a foretaste, right? Being at Mass is not only a bringing into the present from the past Christ's redemptive salvific act of dying and rising. Yes, it is that. Of course it is. It's the Paschal mystery made present through the liturgical act of the celebration of the Eucharist, this new covenant. It's also the foretaste of heaven breaking in, the wedding feast of the Lamb. And we get to share in the supper of the Lamb through reception of Holy Communion. And so the question remains for us at Mass, at any Mass, at the Mass you're going to today or tomorrow or next Sunday, are you a spectator or a tourist? Or are you a worshiper seeking to give God great praise, great worship, and making great acts of intercession and offering of yourself to the Lord so that I can begin to live heaven on earth? I can begin to live greater confidence that that is our true goal. So that's, I'm going to end this reflection there, and I'm going to pick up on my next reflection with the journey home. And I'm going to start with, I said I was going to do it in this video, but it's gone on a little bit long. So I'm going to be move to the, in the next video, with what happened from there. Actually, no, I'm going to take just a few minutes. So Mass ends, say goodbye to the ladies. Oh, this was pretty cool. I had two rosaries with me that I had been, I prayed with one of them. My daughter got me two rosaries. I'd asked for two that came from a Discalced Carmelite monastery that makes rosaries, and they were made out of like small thin rope, so they wouldn't break. And I had prayed with one throughout the entire Camino, and I had a second one, and what I had said inside myself was, I said, Lord, this is for somebody. Don't know who it is, but this is for somebody. And I was waiting, and I would carry it with me in case that right person showed up and I got prompted to give it. And the closest that it happened was one fellow, that fellow that I had mentioned, that we had walked together, and he was Catholic, and we prayed the rosary a couple times together. And I felt like, you know what, if I had the rosary in my pocket at that moment, I would have given it to him. But I didn't, and so I didn't. And so instead, what ended up happening was the ladies that were with me in Australia, from Australia next to me, this one lady, she was very devout. And as we were sharing, she just was just very moved by the whole Catholic spirit that was we were having in the conversation, and just grateful for it. And I asked her if she prayed the rosary every day, loved the rosary. And I said, you know what? I said, this is for you. And so I had it in my other pocket. And so I ended up giving her the rosary and just said, let's pray for each other. And so this dear sweet lady, she's like, you know what, let's swap contacts. We can even pray a rosary over the phone together. And I said, you know what, you can get connected to me on Facebook and YouTube, and I will be praying the rosary live, and you'll be able to join me that way. And so I thought that was a kind of a neat little sign that I carried that rosary through 31 days, meeting all of these different people. And the person I ended up giving the rosary to was a person that I met on the last day in the final act at the end of that final act, the culminating act of going to Mass, here's the woman I'm supposed to give the rosary to. So I thought that was really neat. That's kind of the timing of it all. It happened exactly at the right time. So I'll end with that story. And Mass ends, and I get up and I leave, and I am going to be heading off to a final little celebratory lunch by myself, which I did do, and gave myself permission to have some bread. And I ended up choosing not to drink alcoholic beer, even though I arrived at the end. I just decided to continue to be alcohol free. But I did allow myself the chance to enjoy some yummy fresh bread one more time. So, okay, I'm going to end there, and I'm going to pick up tomorrow with starting the journey home and some surprising things that showed up along the way.